everybody, to this week's Five Aside, the show where we will get back to what it was originally about now that we are done with our supporter group shows, where we're going to talk about five topics aside from the most recent Five Stripes match. My name is Glenn Pizon, and tonight joining me is a woman who, God forbid, just can't bake normal things, you know, just normal baking foods. It's gotta be tainted. It's gotta be laced with some sort of extra,
You're really talking about my extra factor? Like you don't like or enjoy my extra factor?
No, I love it. No, it's great. I'm just calling you out a little bit. It's Jennifer Taylor, which you already knew if you haven't figured that out by now.
Hi, Jennifer. Hey.
And look who's back. We have Justin Timberlake's doppelganger.
Oh, that's not
from
good.
The late 90s, early 2000s.
I don't know if
he looks really good with his hair grown out. It's Jack Purdy, everybody. Jack is back. Let's go.
Jack Attack.
Notably not an NSYNC fan.
No?
No. Not at all. Justin's slipping, man.
Should we rate boy bands real quick? Are we NSYNC? Are we Backstreet? Are we 98 Degrees? Am I missing anyone?
Well, New Kids on the Block. New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, okay. The original, sure.
I think it's that because the rest of them don't stack up to me. And then Justin has not made it work on the solo stuff. That's hence why NSYNC's back together, you know?
Well, Justin's got a new album coming dropping soon, doesn't he?
Did you see the reviews of that song that came out?
No, I did not. Is it not bringing sexy back?
It was whatever the opposite of it was. Like, okay. He got turbo bombed by everybody.
The world is upside down because Beyonce is recording country music and that's Justin true. Timberlake is no longer sexy.
Hey, I've listened to this. They're good. Of course they're going to be. It's Beyonce. I don't think she's really ever released a dud.
I am dying for a Beyonce Dolly duet. Can we please make that happen?
Beyonce and Dolly?
Yes. All right, Dolly collabs with everybody.
Well, there you go. Next year's Super Bowl halftime show is set. Ready to go. Well,
Beyonce already did it.
Well, did it not twice. With Dolly. Not with Dolly, though.
That would be badass.
Be insane.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm all for it. The world is upside down right now, and IFAB doesn't want to seem to be helping. So we're going to start off with a new rule the football overlords are looking to introduce into this game that we all love so much that works really well as is. But yeah, let's throw some new shit in here. Blue cards, sin bins. So this came out, it's been about a month and a half ago that this was discussed. I think it's been discussed even prior to. But the idea behind this is that center refs would have the ability to send off players for dissent and cynical fouls for 10 minutes. And goalkeepers would not be exempt from this new rule. This means if a goalkeeper is sent off, the team would have two options. Place an outfield player in goal. Get your Olivier Giroud's in there. Strap the gloves on. God, that man's beautiful. For the 10 minutes... Or you make a permanent sub for the keeper. FIFA, you know, always the bastion of rationale and reason. You know it's bad when you're on the side of FIFA. Has said that introducing blue cards at the elite level is far too premature and should be tested out in a responsible manner at the lower levels. Perhaps we will see this in the new... semi-pro women's leagues that's going to be starting up here in Georgia. We will talk about that later. So according to the Times, the Football Association will consider testing sin bins in the FA Cup and the Women's FA Cup next season. The Athletic also reported, and of course, MLS is in the mix to try this out. What do we think? Is this going to ruin the game? Is it worth trying out? Is it somewhere in the middle?
I want you to go first, Jennifer, before I absolutely make this idea sound
brilliant.
Okay,
that's totally fair. So, you know, as a reformed hockey, as a reformed hockey fan, I'm really not against this. And I know we kicked it out a while ago, but I think you know, in an ideal universe, you would really prefer for refs to use the yellow card more effectively. But I think there are fouls. There are cynical fouls. There is a space in between a red card and getting sent off completely and giving someone an extended advantage for something that's egregious, but not so egregious you're getting sent off. And I think it gives the refs a little bit more latitude, because it's really hard in game state for a ref to make that judgment call for something that is borderline, to actually pull somebody off of the pitch. So if you have something like this, the ref has a viable option that punishes the team, but not so much that the whole game is changed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What? Yes. Okay, I got to push back on that just for a second.
Thank you for vehemently agreeing with me, Jack. Thank you.
I see where you're going with it gives them more latitude. I personally think it gives them less, because by taking a player out for 10 minutes, you are dramatically affecting
the game. Let's be clear. There's no way the final version of this is 10 minutes long. That's just not happening. It's going to be like four. Ten is just a random number that's out there right now. Ten is insane.
Okay. I could kind of get on board with, like, you know, the idea of, like, you're not permanently off, right? So it's not as severe a punishment. 10 minutes would be severe.
Ten minutes is ridiculous. There's no other league that does 10-minute penalties.
I think that's where probably I'm feeling, like, the most against it, is that probably that 10 number.
Don't get hung up on it. That's not real. None of that's real.
We have a salesman here. Go ahead. Here's a blue dabba dee dabba die. Why do we need this?
Jen was right across the board here. Like, there are if you want to reduce human error, give them more protections, like, to at least have something feasible that they can give out there in terms of penalties and stuff like that. There are some yellow cards that should not be. There are yellow cards that absolutely should be, but eventually they have the definition of a yellow card is way too wide for me. And if, especially for dissent here, if there is a way to punish that and speed up the game by getting rid of these really dumb arguments, because all these divas out here
have a punishment? It's called yellow.
No, because the refs generally
the yellow does. There's outside of you get a card and you have to be careful.
I have
for
seen
the rest of the like. There's no real punishment that giving a yellow. Impact.
A ref is never going to give a second yellow for dissent. Like,
maybe
it just
they should.
I've seen it once in the 7 years.
Why do we need
years.
New rules? Like, this is already taken care
of. This is better.
Of. Like,
it's not a problem
of the refs not enforcing the rule, not following it. Why don't they just follow it?
You think they're going to...
They should,
but we have about 100 years of proof showing that they won't. Lots of MLS coverage
to
show
that. There's the reality of what it is. I hear you.
Yeah, okay. that's just not happening. Also, think about all the other sports that, like, are you go from one end to the other and put a thing in a net. Yeah. They all have this, and it works. Hockey, field hockey specifically, already has a 3-tier system of cards. They have a green, yellow, and red. Green is your classic 2 minutes penalty. Yellow is, like, in ice hockey, your 5-minute major penalty, where you are out for five minutes.
Are we
going no
to go to the
what
point
happens.
If there's a scrap on the field, the refs just go ahead, have it out, now go sit in that box
please.
For 3 minutes.
Well, they don't
please.
Have pads. Well, they don't have
pads.
They don't have pads though, so that's a little bit different. Yeah, fair enough. But and then they have the straight, and then they have the red. If it warrants it, like a lot of other leagues already have these systems built in place for the degrees of fouls, because there always was varying degrees of fouls. The first and second yellow, I do get how that kind of treats it that way.
I could
but
get
circumstance,
the dissent, but like cynical fouls, like it is part of the game. It is a tactic to foul a player in a cynical way to stop a promising attack, and yellows are routinely given out for that.
Yes.
I don't want to see that go away. Like, that's part of the game.
I do, and the NBA has been trying to get rid of this as well. They have that's what's called a take foul in the NBA. That's a technical free. That's a technical foul now, and you get a free throw for you get.
Oh God! Like, they should get a penalty then from.
So, no. Okay, don't take my words where you think they're going. Here. No way does that constitute a penalty kick, but a lot of those. Part of why I don't like watching some soccer sometimes is because it. Turn like how Red Bulls play, like it's just annoying. There's a lot of annoying ways to watch annoying ways to play soccer within the rules that are given, which I get. There's philosophies and all that kind of stuff that I'm not super well versed on, but it's a way to play. but this is an entertainment product, first and foremost. And I would like my soccer to be enjoyable and not my blood boiling because some dudes think they have the freedom to just bully people. In other sports, you get sent off for that. You get at least somewhat penalized, and you have to have a cooldown. That doesn't happen in soccer. I would absolutely love that. Also, for Atlanta, also, just think about it in the Mercedes-Benz context. Do you think there's any way we're going to lose games if there's a blue card involved? Like, we are going to win 6-0 all the time, and we're going to absolutely love it.
Yes. And I will move my season ticket to be right next to the sin bin so that I can bang on the sin bin for however long the player is. Like, yeah, that'll be me.
Oh my God.
We have to have plexiglass boxes.
There'll be a plexi.
Also maybe, you know, drive by glitter getting thrown into the penalty. Yeah.
I want you in a physical box.
Also in general, like, I wouldn't mind if there was just more scoring in general in soccer. Like, I'm just not opposed to that idea. The NBA has done it. They've now gone too far in that direction. They've literally just started doing it, basically studies on how to kind of curtail all that because they realize it's gotten a little out of hand. But they recognized it and they're doing something about it. But like, if you tell me that a 1-1 game could turn into like a 4-2 game, sure. Okay.
I think Jack just hit the nail on the head with this, and that ultimately, at least in America, yes, People want to see scoring. They don't go to watch a soccer match.
Agreed.
Or any professional sports league to watch great quality defensive play, even though we all know that's what wins championships, right? So having, you know, a penalty period, a sin bin period or whatever, you're absolutely going to increase scoring in the league. But I think in a way that would be balanced, right? It wouldn't be so overwhelming, especially if they tweak it down from 10 minutes to something more like, you know, 3 to 5 minutes. There's only so fast you can run 100, you know, you can run and score and so many times in that time frame.
Yeah. This is the new like sub rules that they institute this year. Like, just anything that gets rid of the bullshit in soccer, I want.
I hear you.
Like, now, if this ends up being a disaster and the tests go poorly, then fine, get it out. I don't want it to be there.
The proposals were supported at IFAB's annual business meeting in London. I think that was back in November. So now the annual general meeting is on March 2nd in Glasgow, where any proposed changes to the laws of the game will be considered for approval.
I would say the getting rid of a goalie thing is a little harsh, at least in ice hockey. You can sub one back in if your goalie gets a penalty or something like that and take off a position player. So, like, I totally would understand. Yeah, just at least let them put the replacement in for a little bit and take out a field player or something like that. But that's super specific.
The U.S. Open Cup. This one I think we're kind of unified on in that we like the cup, but we understand, I think, what's going on. So as reported by ESPN, preliminary plans for the 2024 edition of the U.S. Open Cup have been approved by a subcommittee of the U.S. Soccer Federation Board of Directors, but it ain't going to be like it has been. Details are still being ironed out, but it looks like it will be a hybrid of tournament with not every single MLS team participating. Apparently, the plan calls for the Federation to make its largest financial investment ever to ease the cost of travel and assist with promotion, which is a big issue, especially for the lower division teams, the Murder Owls of the world. The source also indicated this format would be for 2024 only, and there would be ongoing discussions with all the stakeholders about working collaboratively to find a permanent long-term format for the tournament. In an interview with ESPN, Don Garber said, "Everybody in the soccer business needs to rethink how competitions have been organized to ensure that we can continue to evolve and manage what is the single biggest issue for all professional soccer, and that's the management of our schedule." So,
you know what would fix that? You know what would fix your problem, Don?
What is that?
Freaking increase the salary cap and the roster size.
Yeah, they're going to be meeting soon, or they already did about that 12 board of governors met and hashing some stuff out, I suppose, about that.
But if the best league in the world, the Premier League, we can all agree the Premier League is the best league in the world.
Yes.
Is that a fair assumption?
It's subjective, but yeah, as far as raw talent, yeah. Caliber,
okay.
Quality, speed,
so,
of play,
so the Premier League has three cup trophies. Three cup trophies that everybody's entered into. They play UEFA Champions
and
League.
Chelsea loses all three. Go ahead.
Yes. They play UEFA Champions League if you qualify. You play Europa League if you qualify. So we're not asking MLS to do anything.
You're
by playing
Europa
in the U.S.
Conference
Open Cup.
League as well. There's
right? So I'm just saying, you're not asking MLS to do anything different than the best league in the world is doing. And I'm sure Germany has similar equivalents. I can't
but
remember what
they have the it roster is, yep. flexibility to handle
there
the
you
workload. You know?
That's the that's MLSPA's issue with it is you can't ask the rosters as they're constructed to play in three cup tournaments and a full league schedule.
Bingo! According
they're
to Jeff Carlisle... As of now, the top seven Supporters Shield finishers that are currently not in CONCACAF Champions Cup, I will never get used to saying that, will enter their first teams, plus Houston, as defending champs for a total of eight MLS teams. It's not a completely done deal yet, apparently, but it's close. So basically that means Seattle, LAFC, Houston, Atlanta, RSL, Dallas, Kansas City, and San Jose, and still not much data on, you know, MLS Next Pro teams, how many of those will be entered. But I think you raise the really good point, the point. It's not the amount of matches, it's the amount of players you have available to play said matches.
Right.
That's the issue. If you have free-flowing ability to bring up from your second team and so on and so forth, you could probably do that. And it'd be really interesting. A good opportunity for the kids to get some play, get some minutes,
the
get
idea.
Some eyeballs on them. It's a good way to showcase your development of all these teams. And it would then, you know, emphasize to all these teams, hey, if you're not focusing on your development and your kids, maybe you should. Because we got this tournament where a lot of the kids are going to be playing. And it's just not like that right now. I think that's the simple solution.
The other solution is my favorite. It solves all of MLS's problems, and it's a shoot League's Cup into the sun.
you know, I'm almost there with you. Like, I'm really almost there with you, but I don't dislike the growth and promotion of the game and that League's Cup is designed to do. You know,
where specifically? Like, I don't get how this does that at all. Outside
they're trying to attract the Mexican, obviously the Mexican Latin American speaking audience to MLS, right?
And that's fair.
So if you have MLS teams playing Liga MX teams on the regular, you get some little rivalries developing because of cup tournament ties and things like that. Sure. You're accessing a huge market that's already consuming soccer product. They're just not consuming Garber soccer product. They're consuming their hometown soccer product.
Right. So okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Garber we have that soccer little... product.
Oh, dear
Make
God.
It a sticker.
Oh, God.
We have that whole little thing with Club America from beating them at Campeones Cup and beating them, you know, so there's a little bit of a sting between us and America. And that's the kind of thing I think was the intent of League's Cup in the first place is to, you know, get Latinx 100%. Eyeballs on MLS and get 100%. Them in the buildings because we are still a very gate-driven league. Right.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
like yes, that's yes. where the revenue's not going to come from TV unless you're,
I mean, that's why
in.
All the games are played here. That's why we don't go to Mexico for anybody, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, 100%. Mr. Bogert's power rankings, Tommy Scoops, where he thinks all these teams are going to wind up. For what it's worth, we still have our competition going on Atlanta United Fan TV's Discord. And actually, it's open to everyone now. Look for the link in all our various social media channels. If you want to get in on that, it is free to play. And you will win some dope prizes for... Well, whoever wins the East, the West, and overall for just correctly predicting where everybody is going to land. So I don't know if we want to run through every spot, but in the top four, well, I don't know if top four really matters now because like the top eight, nine make the playoffs. But for the top four, he's got in the East, Columbus. I think that's fair. They look as good a chance to repeat as we did in 2019 for me. Yeah. Cincinnati in second. Fair. Miami third. Yeah, I don't. I think we all agree that they're not going to run away Supporters Shield or even really challenge for the Supporters Shield.
I still have a hard time picturing them finishing top four in the league. I don't think that they missed the playoffs again. But I just, again, you know, you've got no depth. There's no one in the academy they can pull up. Well, they lose anybody else at this stage in the game in the season. They lose anybody else to a long-term injury, and your probabilities are way, way high. They're
going to find a way to sign Luka Modric, though, in June and break more rules. Like, they're going to find ways to do this. He's got Orlando.
Hold on. Miami is screaming New York Mets to me. Like, if this isn't the soccer version of the Mets, I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
There's just...
No, that's fair.
If they finish higher than fourth in the East, I'll be stunned.
That's fair my enough. Favorite analogy ever, Jack. Thank you for like making space to get that in there.
Yeah.
Like, for real. And it's not that I hate Miami, because I'm not the anti-Messi person or whatever. I don't know why nobody wants to pick Columbus, because they're a freaking juggernaut. Like, they are
insane. They're so good.
Yeah, they're so good.
They only got better. They have depth.
They've been doing it together with this unit for like 3.5 years.
They have
now.
Darlington Nagbe.
That's just about to say.
It's just how this works. If you have Darlington, you're going to win.
Anybody see what he tweeted out today with all four rings? That photo
if he gets another one, this man's going to start turning into MLS's Tom Brady if we're not careful.
Fair enough. True. He's still got a few more years in him. He can do it, man.
He plays so smoothly. That dude could play till he's 45.
Glides. He really, truly glides over the pitch. What do we think about Orlando being ahead of Atlanta? He's got Atlanta in fifth, Orlando fourth. I feel like we're probably going to slot in somewhere between fifth, fourth. Good season. I want fourth, obviously. I want more.
I think we're going to wind up somewhere between third and fifth. It depends on how the season runs out. It depends on injuries. Depends on how many people are we going to lose this summer to various international duties and for how long.
Okay.
Orlando, God, fuck you, Orlando. All they did was get better. They were good last year.
East is significantly better than the West. The list rounds out.
The West might as well not like it's not even fair that like all those teams in the West are going to make the playoffs.
It's the same as last year, right? Where it was like we were sitting in like sixth or seventh, and we had just as many points as St. Louis. Halfway through the season. Like, yeah, it's
100%.
Seattle was, weren't they like Club World Cup burned in that front part of the season, or was that two seasons ago?
That was 2022. They won that.
Two seasons.
Or didn't win it. They won championships.
They played.
They played in it, and they got.
So they started it and ended like in December of 2023, December 2022, early January 2023.
That's right. 2023, they were just absolutely decimated by that. That checks.
Well, that's why everybody calls
Zombie
them
Sounders.
Seattle.
Zombie Sounders. Zombie Sounders.
I'm
getting off track a little bit, but shout out to the Sounders for giving Ozzy the 1-day contract.
That was cool.
Pure class for a pure class guy. Maybe we do the same thing with Joseph someday. Who knows? The list rounds out with Philadelphia.
He's going to need to buy us all some boil with the
I hope so. It'd be amazing. Philadelphia in sixth, then New England, Nashville, Red Bulls, New York City in 10th. Woo. Montreal in 11th, Chicago Fire 12th, and Charlotte all the way down in 13th. They did get a win over NYC. So there's that. And then in the West, Seattle in first, LAFC. Yeah, we know those two are going to be battling it out. Vancouver in third. They'd bite your arm off for that. St. Louis in fourth. I think they're going to have a good second season. I don't see why not. RSL in fifth. That would be pretty good for Real Salt Lake. Houston in sixth. I could actually see Houston finishing a little higher up, a little dark horse even more. Yeah. Yeah. For not Shield, but like cup contenders, dark horse. Dallas as well, I think, could be there. Galaxy, they ain't going to do much. They'll be happy if they sneak into the playoffs.
Colorado's
always Colorado, and you just
wait. Dallas is Kevin Egan's unsexy pick to watch this season. He went all over a bunch of the Atlanta podcast scene. He was on Soccer Down Here. He did Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Yeah.
And all he was doing was like, you know, Dallas is going to be sneaky good.
Sneaky good. Yep.
Just wanted to point that out there. I am
Timbers all the way down in 10th. They just lost their shirt sponsor too, which I think their fans are actually happy about because there was some. Some things going on.
It's not Portland if it's not angsty.
That's true.
Yes.
Sporting KC in 11th. If that happens, is Peter Vermees finally gone? Probably.
Peter Vermees needed to go last year, even though they like wound up.
Longest tenured manager now?
Yeah, they need.
I agree with you. I agree.
Sure he's not like Jim Boeheim and he's just going to be there until until he says, you know, fuck it, I'm done.
I'm not sure of that at all. San Jose and Minnesota dead last.
No, Austin. Dark horse pick for the wooden spoon.
Oh, and then I left out on the East, but I just blanked DC United and Toronto.
You just didn't scroll that far in the notes.
Yeah,
didn't have to mention them. Like that was optional.
That's true. And I think that's fair. Austin, I think, is going to struggle. Minnesota is going to struggle. They just got a coach. So,
Jack, who's your wooden spoon pick?
What's that?
The worst team in the league. Wooden spoon.
Oh God, I just hate it. I hate
Toronto.
Toronto
for me.
I think Toronto is got a little bit better from last year.
Worst vibes. Chicago Fire.
Okay.
I was gutted for Gutman. He came out in the second or third minute, non-contact injury. He was crying. You know it's serious.
Is he okay? Is
he was so happy to go. He was so happy to go back, and to go out like that that's brutal. And he's a genuinely good guy. He plays with his heart on his sleeve. He cares
this
about
all
the
stems to that damn piece of plastic.
What?
Remember, that's how he got his first injury with us, was he slipped on that piece of plastic.
Oh, he did. Wow.
That's how he got that first injury.
That. Wild,
and then
yeah.
Here comes the train of events after that, because of a piece of plastic.
Son of a bitch. All right, moving on to the Women's World Cup and the women's game, just in general. Jennifer, you want to lead this one?
So, in case you live under a rock in soccer land, you may or may not have heard that the U.S. and Mexico have launched a joint bid for 2027 for the Women's World Cup, which, you know, FIFA maybe needs to get their heads out of their asses, considering they've already awarded, what, the 2030, whatever, the next Men's World Cup after the 2026 World Cup, they've already awarded to Saudi Arabia. So, given the fact that, you know, it doesn't just snap your fingers, ooh, let's put on a World Cup, we're getting a little close for 2027 to just now be awarded. But for you Atlanta-centric folk, the really interesting news that was dropped this week is the FIFA Bid Evaluation Committee started their tour of potential venues in one fair city of Atlanta. And also dropped on...
they've already toured for the men's, did they not? Like
the bid process is different, you know. Obviously, things are different.
We know the facilities. I assume
may not even be
the
same people.
Well, I don't know how different it is for the Women's World Cup. But there are going to be a lot of eyes, and I mean a lot of eyes on the She Believes Cup, which is scheduled to be here in Atlanta.
Yes, very excited.
If you do not already have your tickets for She Believes, we need to pack the Benz out because we will be able to set a record for a women's soccer match by filling the lower bowl up. And there's not a ton of seats left. There are some seats left. And in case you missed notification from your favorite supporter group, you can also, if you haven't already bought a ticket, buy a ticket to She Believes, and there will be a monetary donation to the supporter group that you buy your ticket through. They've been emailing out links and dropping links. So you got no excuse to go. It's a double header. The supporter section ticket was like $37. Walk out the door for two amazing matches that I'm so looking forward to seeing. So that's really cool. The reason it's important that we show up for She Believes is because another little nugget, that Jason Longshore dropped is if we can demonstrate the demand and, you know, the capacity for, you know, filling up a large scale stadium, there's definitely discussion about Atlanta for the final.
Oh man, let's go.
How amazingly badass would that be?
I'm totally fine. I'll take a second mortgage. It's okay. Get some tickets like that. That is it too hyperbolic to say transformative?
Well, I mean, we already have a men's semifinal schedule to play here.
Like, is it too hyperbolic to say this stretch of years that we have coming up between now and then, these next 3 years?
I'm in the camp of transformative. Right? I firmly believe, had Mercedes-Benz had the 90,000 capacity or could have been modified to have 90,000 people in it, I think it wouldn't have even been a question between Dallas and New York, and we would have had the final. They seem to really like what we're doing here. Just agreed. Saying.
Yeah,
you don't have to drive through Newark to get to the World Cup final if it's here.
Right. Everything's right there. It's right there.
You don't have to go to Newark.
On a slightly lower rung, lower tier league note, we now have access to some semi-professional and soon to be professional women's soccer.
Yes, very cool.
So this is really exciting. And not only do we have access to this, we're going to have an in-town option for watching it because a club called Decatur FC joined the WPSL, the Women's Professional Soccer League, which is a whole bunch of different tiers of lower league soccer as part of the Southeastern Conference that already had clubs you may have heard of like Atlanta Fire, Georgia Impact, Chattanooga FC, UFA Gunners. So there's some teams in Tennessee, and there's a team out in Birmingham, and they'll play like an interleague schedule. Decatur FC is going to play out of Decatur High School. And what these are, it's because it's semi-professional, it's a lot of elite high school players that playing through the summer, collegiate kids, some developing internationals, things of that nature. Further to that, Georgia Impact, which is like up near Canton, Georgia, right? So like that's kind of more my hood.
Yeah.
They signed a letter of intent to become a professional club, which now the WPSL has enough teams saying they want to be pro to be able to form an actual third division of women's soccer in this country. So that may happen as soon as next year. It's pretty.
Hell yes.
It's, you know, again, it's not an, you know, it's not a top flight team. You're not going to see Alex Morgan out there. But it's great that we're getting the grassroots infrastructure here. Absolutely. For the women's game.
You're giving young women out there a chance to play the game at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
Locally. That's incredible. That's amazing. And I think the demand is there.
I think, you know, Atlanta is becoming a destination for women's sports in general. You know, they've done some really good things with ownership changes and you know, in-game stuff with the move to the smaller arena for the Atlanta Dream. I think the game, you know, if you watch them on TV, the games look better. They're set. They sound louder. And we're actually in the middle of the inaugural season of the completely brand new Women's Professional Volleyball League.
Vibes are high.
Yeah, the Atlanta vibe. The vibes I actually are had a good. Chance. The vibes are good. Positive vibes. I actually got a chance to go check out one of their matches not so long ago up at Gwinnett Arena. And let me tell you what a fun time it is. They got a DJ. You can pay $20 and literally stand courtside and watch all the action. I mean, that's for good. Me, it was kind of like back at home being in a volleyball tournament, having no angle to call line balls and still yelling at, you know, refs and saying things were out and, you know, whatever. And, you know, luckily not getting that. But I think, you know, having had a kid who spent 6 years in club volleyball, right? Like the best thing for me was to see hordes and hordes of club volleyball girls getting to watch and have idols that they can look up to playing a sport that they love playing professionally. Like that to me is so great because, you know, look, Tech has a great volleyball team. They have a great volleyball program.
It's top 10 in the country.
Unfortunately, nobody can watch them because they play in a tiny gym.
Yes.
So, you know, unless you know somebody or you go to the one match a year that they play at the Alexander Memorial Coliseum that seats more people, it's really hard to see them in action. Same thing at KSU, like their volleyball setup is very, very small. And you know, volleyball's growing. I mean, Jack, you can speak better on this because I know you cover it a lot more, but
Yeah, no, it's been fastest growing youth sport in the country amongst girls, fastest growing sport watched on ESPN's platform. So you can watch any D1 volleyball game on ESPN Plus if you have access to that.
It's not Brett Shea and pickleball?
Thank God it's not. Dear God. Dear God.
It was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Brett Shea.
Hey, my dad got to play golf with Breck one time at a charity tournament. They had a good time together. So I think, it was the one thing Breck Shea won while he was with Atlanta United, sadly.
Wow. Oh.
But I know. Poor guy. That's not the first time I've made that joke on this podcast either.
Probably not.
But no, yeah, in terms of like just sheer fun of an event to go to, volleyball is hard to beat. It's quick, and if it's not quick, the match is good.
Yeah. I mean, and it really is exciting to watch, and it really is so much. It doesn't televise as well. It's almost too fast to televise well.
It's somewhat. I don't know. I feel like I follow it decently. If you want to watch these matches, they're all for free on YouTube when they happen. Like, you don't have to pay anything.
Oh, that's
all
cool.
The entire league's on YouTube right now.
Very cool.
Atlanta is playing out of the arena out in Duluth. Gas South or whatever it's called.
Yeah, Gas South.
Yeah. So that's where you can find them. Then Tech starts back. Actually, I can't say when these next matches are. That isn't public yet. I do know the fall matches will begin August. So,
cool. So on the heels of all that, when the growth of the women's game and locally and in these smaller markets, the USL Super League also kicking off, and the clubs there are scattered around the country. We got Brooklyn, Carolina, Chattanooga, Dallas, Fort Worth, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Sporting Jacks, Madison, Lexington, Oakland, Palm Beach, Phoenix, Spokane, Zephyr FC, Tampa Bay Sun FC, and Tucson. It's just incredible. The way how fast it seems to be going now, because it's taken forever to get here, and now it just feels like accelerant has been put on this. I love it. Even over across the pond. The FA, they're making a big commitment as well that could really potentially transform the landscape of women's football in England. As reported by Nitish Verma, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, with BNN, the FA has unveiled an initiative set to bolster the health and well-being of female players across the Women's Super League and Championship. And it's in collaboration with Well HQ, signifies a monumental shift towards recognizing and addressing the unique health needs of female athletes. With England manager Serena Wegman and midfielder Kara Walsh lauding the initiative, the announcement comes on the heels of an independent review led by ex-England international Karen Carney, which sharply criticized the existing support framework for female athletes and called for immediate action. Each of the 24 clubs in the Women's Super League and Championship will appoint designated female health representatives who will undergo specialized training and help them to empower to provide sustainability and support areas critical to female athlete health and, including pregnancy, postnatal care, menstrual cycle health, and pelvic care. So it's being taken seriously here, across the pond, across the globe, despite, what Jenny had to go through in the Women's World Cup in Spain and that whole debacle that should never have happened, and she shouldn't have to do, take on that mantle and that role in that really tough moment, but she did. And God willing, this only continues to grow and advance. It's long overdue. And if we've got momentum, we got to keep the momentum, keep it going. So if you have opportunities locally or wherever you're at to go out and support women athletes in volleyball, soccer, wherever it is, it's worth your money. And if we want this thing to grow, it requires us to show up and tend and support it. It's important. I'll bet you can't guess what we're going to talk about with number 5. Jack, you want to start it off? You want to take a swig at this?
Sure. I assume you both have lived in Georgia for a considerable number of years. At least in the last 10 to 15. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So then you are aware.
I've been here since 2012.
2012. Oh, okay. So you actually
been. I'm a native.
You're
been
native.
Here
All right.
For, yeah, we're not going to say
All
how
right,
long I've been here for.
Right, you've been here long enough. All right. Glenn, before you moved here.
Yes.
you could not buy a beer in the state of Georgia over like a 4 to 5% alcohol level. Just wasn't available. Wasn't legal. Wasn't a thing that you could do. That got raised in the aughts to like, I want to say like 12 or 13 or something like that. It's since been raised to like 18 or like 16 or 17 or 8, somewhere.
Good, because I like high gravity beer. Shout out to Lost Druid Elementals, 12%. It's delicious.
Yeah, something like that. Back when, so my dad started this brewery called Wild Heaven, which y'all may have gone to. We're always at a bunch of footy mob stuff. When we started, it was actually, no, Glenn, you missed this too. That brewery started in 2011. It was not legal for us to sell a human being a beer back then.
I remember you had to buy a like a beer, like a tour, right?
Yes, you had to buy a tour, which we had to schedule, and they had to be educational. You bought a glass, and we could give you souvenir beer up to however many legal ounces there were. You can only sell to breweries can only sell to distributors for outside sales that isn't out of house right now. Eventually, in 2017, that law got changed finally. To where you could buy beer at a brewery and also buy it to go, as well as you can take up to 2 cases of beer by yourself. This is why no one in the state of Georgia has ever bought a keg from a brewery, because you would have to bring like 8 people to add up all the ounces that could fill a keg.
Right.
Also, the breweries just don't sell kegs to like that goes out and they get brought back, and it's kind of a whole recycle program. So it's been this very long, and at the time we finally could sell beer direct to consumers, we were one of 5 states left in the country that couldn't do that yet, which meant 45 others had somehow figured this out before us, despite the fact we have Sweetwater, who's been around since forever, and Terrapin. When Wild Heaven opened, like, you had to be a functioning brewery at high scale. Small your town square breweries were not a thing, because there was no functional legal way for them to exist as a business. There, you could not self-distribute, which is kind of the whole thing about small businesses, of being able to do that kind of stuff. There was a bill very recently in the state legislature that was going to allow that for breweries, especially small breweries, to do minimal localized just self-distribution, to at least get some stuff out the door, get it to your local package store or whatnot. Because what people do is they go to a brewery and then they go buy it whatever is closest to them. That's just how it's always worked for years. It got shut down. And here is why. The number one political donor in the state of Georgia are alcohol distributors, aka the middlemen between breweries and retailers. This is why it took so freaking long for breweries to be able to sell their own beer, because we had to tell them to their faces, hey, literally every other state, it works, and everyone gets more money in the process. Like, this is how you get more popular, is when you can just go to a brewery. This is like the experience. It was weird that when we visited family, we could go to a brewery and like hang out. Like, that wasn't a thing you could do here growing up. Like, it wasn't a family thing that people could do, but that's what we could do now, thankfully. So it got shut down, which is really sucks, because there's some breweries that just can't exist still in the state of Georgia because they cannot distribute well enough, because it's really hard to get shelf space. Is impossible to get now, because if you're basically not Creature Comforts, Wild Leaf, Sweetwater, Terrapin, or Monday Night or someone like that, even us, we have a hard time getting shelf space. If you don't have a good retail spot to then compensate for that, that's it. That's ball game. And so especially for small towns, imagine just a little Macon brewery just out there. Just they got their spot on whatever their street is. Like, oh yeah, no, you can go buy it wherever, and we sell it straight to them. That solves so many problems. It didn't happen. So this has been a long, long fight that, which is just so dumb, but this is where the Georgia state politics shows its cards, sadly, is in this stuff. So, if you see a small, all that to say, if you see a small brewery that's in your town, go help them out, because it's extra hard in Georgia for them to survive. Even now with better laws than there were 12 years ago when Wild Heaven started,
right?
It's still like, Wild Heaven's business is based on people coming in the door instead of distribution, like it was in the past.
Buying the beer at the stores. Yeah,
we may have emergency drinking beer, which people recognize around the Southeast, but that's getting sold in other states is not driving our business. It's the fact that people show up and have a good time at our locations, which is really fun. So, yeah, if you see a place that's small, help them out. If the beer sucks, I don't know what to tell you. But
watch your footy at your local brewery. Pop over to Wild Heaven, or you know, if you're outside of Atlanta or wherever, you've got a small local operation. Just know that it's not easy for them to do what they do.
And they're real people. They're real people. They're not just some figment of your imagination. These are real people that put a lot of care into their craft. You know, I'm a big fan of your Dolly Parton, of the Wild Heaven Dolly Parton series.
That is my there's a series that's called the Happiest Hour series that Wild Heaven does, and it's just whatever thing we just come up with. There's a new release once every week or so, and some get a spot on the calendar that sticks. That beer has stuck for 4 years now, and if it is on, I drink it. There's nothing else I will drink of that beer if it's there. That beer is amazing. So yeah.
I'm not even a beer person for the most part, and I love it. I like that. I love everything that you do. And I like the collab that you guys do with the Botanical Gardens, the garden beers.
The garden beer is really good. Yeah,
It's a cider right now, actually. It's a spice cider right now. I don't know how much is left, but that is the current version.
The next Five Takes episode we need to do on location, so I can go get myself a
six. Got it. We'll do.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you.
Ode to Mercy is always one of my standbys. And what is classic. It? The Blackbird White.
White Blackbird's classic.
White Blackbird.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely classic.
Yep. Always go to. And yeah, I mean, you can just pound Emergency all day, and you'd be fine. Yeah, it's good. It's a good session beer.
It's got sea salt in it, so it's technically a hydration beer, but it's
electrolytes.
It's an energy drink.
It's got what plants crave.
That's right. Give some for your plants too; they'll appreciate it. Do a good thing for your brewery, and
they have that new app thing that you can get where, like, you take a picture of your plant and it diagnoses like how sick your plant is and what to do with it, and wow. Like it tells you to put chili in it or coffee or sugar or apparently beer.
You know, our brewmaster's a horticulturalist. I wouldn't be surprised if he accidentally had some input into that. He literally had a PBS garden show before doing this.
I can't believe
I had no idea. That's really cool.
There's really an app for this. We've peaked as a society. That's it. We're not going to achieve anything else.
No, this is how we saw blue cards. There's an app for that. You look at the watch. You look at your goal line technology watch. Is it blue card or not? Have I finally broken Glenn?
Yes. Yeah. He's laughing so hard now, he's crying. So see, we kept the
mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. One bill that did make its way past at least crossover day, it's not law yet, is gambling. So it's been tried and tried and tried many times in this state, but it might happen now. Senate Resolution 579 would allow voters to decide if the state's constitution should be amended to allow various forms of gambling. So that's kind of our workaround for legalizing that here. It's amending the constitution. So the bill that's attached to the resolution would provide 80% of the gambling proceeds to education, namely pre-K funding, and after that, the Hope Scholarship. There were all the same concerns noted about gambling, but it passed 41-12. So it might happen, and then it would be up to the voters, which my feeling is if it comes in November, it would probably pass.
I think it'd be safe. And there's been a very large corporate effort to get this done, too.
Oh, totally. There's a lot of FanDuel, money involved.
FanDuel literally has an office now in Pont City Market. They've put down Roots Prize Picks. You've probably seen a gazillion ads.
FanDuel's in Ponce?
FanDuel is in Ponce, yeah. And then...
I did not know this.
Prize Picks is also in Midtown Atlanta. Like, they're growing like crazy right now, and they are heavily they've hired people to basically go to the state legislature and help lobby. Like, they are doing a lot of work. Like, there's a large expectation that Atlanta will be a forefront for gambling companies to be able to operate, sports gambling companies especially, to be able to operate and do well, because Atlanta.
So this week's Saturday Night Live special commercial, Rock Bottom Kings, was especially applicable to the state of Georgia. Oh, it's great. They had a skit where, you know, because of all the betting apps and things like that, where you could bet on like how your friend was going to hit rock bottom and how he had a gambling problem. And you didn't, but you're betting on your friend, like where your friend's gambling problem. And
I thought you were segueing into like The Rock.
And
now that The Rock is back in WWE and trying and messing with Cody Rhodes, Atlanta boy, you know, at WrestleMania, and who knows? Well, betting won't be legal by then, so you won't be able to bet on The Rock giving Cody Rhodes a rock bottom or something like that. I thought that's where you were going with it.
No, I was just making a funny joke because it was a very funny skit. It was a very funny skit, and I laughed a lot because my life isn't as bad as that. So here we are.
Well, I think that about does it. A bit longer than we try to go with these, and by a bit longer, I mean much longer. But I think we talked about some.
I don't know why you promised that we're going to not talk for an hour.
Yeah, I need to just dispense with that, don't I? And just be real with people.
Yes, you do. Let's be real.
Be a little more, genuine.
Not a good boy band, by the way. Be real. They're not in like the top five echelon of boy bands.
What was we left one out? What was the one from Orlando?
Menudo?
No. There was a boy band from
Menudo. Orlando. Was a boy band. Wait, Ricky wasn't Martin it just was in called, Menudo.
Wasn't it just called Orlando?
O-Town. You're thinking of O-Town.
O-Town. I'm thinking of O-Town. O-Town.
Why do I know this crap?
The O-Town poster behind you?
That is not an O-Town poster. This is a piece of art.
No, it's just wine.
Thank you very much. This from a wine. Gallery in Argentina that does street art. It's like Orson Welles. And
cool.
Yeah, I like it. All right, it's a mashup of Battleship Potemkin and Orson Welles.
We've kept you long enough. We appreciate you for listening. Thank you very much. We will be back next week with a new Five Aside, and then we'll be back with a Five Takes episode after we win against New England.
We do promise to not be crazy hungover when we record that Five Takes episode.
I wasn't crazy hungover. I was just a little bit. Not crazy. No, I was responsibly hungover. It wasn't that bad. I was just really down in that match, and hopefully we'll be more up for this one. We should, I think, put on a good performance against New England. They're going to be missing people anyhow, so it's ripe. I hope we don't just do a 1-0. Let's really go out and make more of a statement. It'd be great. And a clean sheet. That's what we've been prioritizing this season is defense. You know, it'd be great. All right, y'all. We will talk to you next week.